Welcome to the Positive Communication Show with your host, Matthew Cooper, where crisis meets communication. Join Matthew on the journey of skills, techniques, and wisdom on empowering your communication and enriching your relationships. Matthew has been a student and practitioner of self-help skills and crisis communications for over 20 years. He owns Positive Control Systems, a crisis communication and intervention business, and teaches these skills to parents, teenagers, and professionals. Here is your host, Matthew Cooper.
Cooper with the Positive Communication Show on Ohm Times Radio. I wanted to thank you all for joining me once again. It has been a busy, busy week. Just got moved into my new apartment with my kids. Quite a unique life experience that I'm sure many of us have had to go through more than one time. And when having to do so on short time, that makes it even more challenging. However, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. We'll be talking about that and many more things this evening. However, I wanted to thank everyone for joining me. Those that are new, welcome. Those that are returning, thank you. You're awesome. And I appreciate all the comments you send my way. A little background on what I am, who I am, what I do. I am male, yes. I know there are so many different options these days. However, I chose and choose to identify as male. As for what I am, for who I am, my name is Matthew Cooper. I am a small business owner. I own a business called Positive Control Systems. It is a crisis intervention program that teaches communication and crisis intervention as well as crisis prevention to troubled youth homes across the U.S. I've also worked with health professionals, with nurses and doctors. I've also worked with military and law enforcement as well to be able to teach these different skills. These skills are, in essence, timeless. They're learning how to get along with people, learning how to essentially work on yourself, figure out what causes you and to get set off by certain things, why that causes that, and learning how to overcome those when you're working with other people, especially when working with your clients in a troubled youth home where you have teenagers that love to push buttons. So learning how to overcome that, learning how to be a better communicator and not taking things personally are some of the things that I teach in my training programs. Fun stuff. I really enjoy teaching both the verbal aspects as well as the physical skills. They are a lot of fun to me. I have another program. See, the Positive Control Systems program came first. It's developed about 20 years ago, and it uses, when dealing with certain populations, especially violent youth. I had a gentleman just contact me today dealing with some violent autistic youth, having issues with that up in Alaska. And so he asked me for some information on being able to come to one of my next trainings, because you can't have your clients hurting your staff, period, okay? It is not appropriate for the staff to be hurting the youth, of course. However, you also can't have the opposite happening, because that doesn't teach any good lessons. And so I do teach some skills that teach people how to control that kind of negative out of control behavior with the Positive Control Systems program. It is more uncomfortable. I will say that it's also extremely effective. I developed another program called the Informed Crisis Care Program, which helps to deal with trauma-informed issues, being able to understand what people are doing, how those issues can lead to further problems if you're not addressing it properly, and then how to prevent further trauma to your clients and to your staff by being able to have other non-pain compliance methods that will help to build a more therapeutic environment in their programs. Now, we also work to have that therapeutic environment with the Positive Control Systems program. Each one of these is, though, for different populations. The Positive Control Systems program was originally developed for violent youth and being able to deal with them. We're talking gang members. We're talking people who are trying to stab the staff members and how to be able to handle that in an appropriate way to keep everyone safe. The Informed Crisis Care program is made to be able to deal with those youth that are smaller, oftentimes also female, that the females in the program that are one smaller but also don't need to have as strong of a hand, if you will, in being able to control out-of-control behavior. We've worked with the drug and alcohol rehab facilities. We've worked with high-functioning mental health. We've also worked with eating disorders. And honestly, okay, you have a 95-pound girl who's struggling to try and throw herself out of bed. It's really something you don't have to do a lot to try and control that behavior. Having a more gentle method is something that we've found works much, much better, especially with the female populations. So that's about my programs and what I'm doing. I also, hopefully in the next week, I'm planning on it. I'm very, very eager and excited. I have a new program out for parents. It's called the Empowered Parent Program. The Empowered Parent Program is a program that teaches parents how to use some of these same skills that I've taught in the troubled youth industry. We've been teaching these for over 20 years. However, it also goes into a lot more of the softer skills because these are your own kids. And it's really important to be able to understand how your children are thinking, acting, and responding, and what you, the parent, yes, you, the parent, are doing to cause more harm than good oftentimes. And being a parent, I'm a single dad with five kids that all live with me. Being a single parent like that, I've had to really put these to the test and see, do these really work? Is it just my imagination? Do I just have naturally good kids? Of course, I do have naturally good kids. However, my kids are just like anybody else's. They're kids. And unless we guide them, unless we are the example, as Mahatma Gandhi said, becoming the example we want to see in the world, unless we are the example of how we want our children to act, they're not going to learn how to do anything better than what we're doing ourselves. And so some of the things I teach in this program are teaching parents the types of things they can do to improve their communications immediately. And I mean within minutes of them learning these skills and applying them. If they understand the skills, they can start getting positive results immediately. And so these are the things that I'll be talking about once I launch my program. I'll have a website and address for you in the future if you're wanting information or want to find out exactly, okay, what is this Empowered Parent Program? Go ahead and message me on Facebook. You can look up Matthew Cooper in Lehi, Utah. You'll see my happy smiling face. I've got glasses on. I've got a beard. Yes, a rocking beard. You can look at on Facebook and you'll see me. You can also look up the Positive Control Systems page on Facebook and be able to look at me there too. Okay? So, information, things that are going on in life, my life especially, because I like to talk about things that are pertinent not only to me, but to other people that have experienced similar things. I mentioned that I moved recently. Well, that was because the girlfriend that I've been with the past year, we broke up. Now you say, well, okay, you broke up. Well, whose fault was it? Oh, what do you mean? It wasn't anyone's fault. It was both of us. I noticed a long time ago that by blaming anyone for anything, bad juju, very bad. After I got divorced, I wanted to blame my ex-wife. I wanted her to experience the same pain I did. I had all these horrible feelings within me. And I realized that was not cool, not healthy. And I vowed to not do that to myself or to my former partner anymore. I'll take responsibility for my actions, what I did, what I didn't do, and understanding that people are just different sometimes. I was looking online, you know, trying to get a better idea of how I can communicate this. And I found an article on Huffington Post. It was written by Margaret Paul. She's Dr. Margaret Paul. And it's called The 10 Ways to Know It's Time to Leave Your Relationship. Now, some of these were very applicable in my relationship. Others, not even close. Okay, the first one here says physical abuse. Not even close. No physical abuse at all whatsoever because I am very much against that. Having the crisis intervention program, I recognize that. And we have a zero tolerance at all for any violence or physical abuse whatsoever in our programs. That is not appropriate. And I'm not going to start in my home if I'm not teaching that at my business. And so that is a big no-no. The next one, and I'll talk about physical just so we can cover these because I want to cover all of them before the night is through. Just so we'll be able to have that wide range. And then I can talk about certain specifics that I had some challenges with. Okay, physical abuse. Most of us know that it's dangerous to stay in a relationship with physically abusive partner. Of course, No matter how much you feel love for your partner, no matter how often he or she says they're sorry, after being physically abusive, ongoing physical abuse is dangerous and has nothing to do with love. If your partner physically harms you, it's time to leave. What part of that do you not understand? Okay, they can be open to going to therapy. They can go and, okay, I'm willing to change. I'll do this. All right. Well, maybe. Maybe. If your partner's willing to go to therapy, maybe. There may be hope. But honestly, many times if they're doing that, there is a war going on inside of them and they are not openly and honestly facing themselves. And so that is an issue which they have to take up. And honestly, we're willing to change. I would say if you did anything, separate, get out of there. Have them go through therapy, and eventually, if you really want to go back, I would say personally, if they're physically abusive, that's so many warning signs and flags, I can't even express it. Okay, next one, verbal / emotional abuse, overly controlling behavior. This is a similar idea. It's something that's inside of them. They're abusive in one way or the other, whether it's verbally, emotionally, mentally, or it's physical. And oftentimes these two, these three go hand in hand, especially with the controlling behavior. They are insecure, they're angry, they're frustrated inside, and it's going to be going back on you because it's coming from inside of them. Okay. Yeah, if they're willing to go for therapy, that's great, but you need to make sure they're doing it, they're taking care of it, because if they're not going to change, then in my opinion and this doctor's opinion, get over it. Get away from them and find somebody else who's going to appreciate you. Okay? Next, child abuse. Boo. Bad. Big no-no. Bad juju once again. Child abuse is horrible and it is a crime. Period. You should not be around that. You should leave if you're ever in that situation. Not only is that horribly inappropriate, make sure that, if possible, they are prosecuted the full extent of the law. Okay. Make sure you get out. You are not supporting your children. You are not helping them. If you stay in that relationship, you are actually causing more trauma and more problems. Okay. Very, very bad stuff. Oof. Not in favor of that at all. Too many issues. I've heard of too many stories and too many youth that are in these different facilities, these troubled youth homes that have been in these situations. So I've heard way too many situations. Avoid that. Anyway, going to have a break in just a moment. Talk to you in just a few moments.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hey ladies, do you want to have that good hair day feeling all the time? Gentlemen, would you want your special someone to have that glow letting you know she is feeling completely satisfied? This feeling and that glow can be yours by embracing your sexual power. So join me, Rachel Kenley, award-winning romance author, on The O-Spot. The O-Spot will guide you to that peak with guest interviews, book discussions, and conversations on the thrills of sexual empowerment. Put the zing back in your life. Come up and see me sometime on The O-Spot, live on Hump Day at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back. This is Matthew Cooper with the Positive Communication Show on OM Times Radio. kind of some emotional topics we were talking about, being able to chat about some of the challenges had in relationships, and just the sheer frustrations and the pain that comes from being able to be in these relationships and from being able to experience such emotional trauma. And it is. It's emotional trauma. Okay. Being able to understand that, being able to recognize, hey, I've had these problems. Hey, I've been in this situation. Hey, this was rough. What do you do? What do you do when you've been in those kind of situations? Okay. Now, yes, my girlfriend and I had some challenges. I'm not going to go into all of those. What I will mention, and we're going to be going through this list, is that on this list, a number of them are applicable. Why? They're applicable because when we are in a relationship with someone, when we have these deep connections with someone, when we've been with someone, shared with them our life for a certain time, it's very painful when we have to leave that. And both of us, we realized both that it was not working, and we had such differences. And these are I'll mention some down here. We number 7 different paths, and a couple of other. I'll just mention that is one of the biggest ones that I will talk about. The others I'm not going to mention. I'll talk about these in here, but just know that if you go to Huffington Post on this article, 10 Ways to Know It's Time to Leave Your Relationship, that the different paths was one of the bigger issues that we experienced that caused us to need to break up. The different paths that can also be different life experiences and different past experiences, different expectations, all of these things are all tied together when we're looking at relationships. Now, you may say, well, why is this guy talking about relationships? Why is he talking about his girlfriend? Well, for one thing, my business is about communication. All behavior is communication. Everything we do is communication. Right or wrong, good or bad, it's all communication. And to me, relationships are hugely important, huge. I've spoken about my girlfriend in the past and the relationship we had and different things we had done to try and work through some of these different challenges and issues that we were experiencing. Some of them worked really well. Some didn't work as well as I'd like. And I do not blame her for any of that. It is her life, her own different expectations, and mine as well. And we are both adults. We agreed amicably to break off the relationship because we were not happy. And that's, to me, that's the best way you could end a relationship, is to understand we're not happy. We are just so different in our behaviors, in our lifestyle choices, in our expectations of our partners. If you're not happy, then leave and move on. And hindsight, they say, is 20/20. And my hindsight is telling me that this has been going on for a long time. And I didn't get it. I didn't see it. I didn't recognize the symptoms. I didn't want to recognize that these were warning signs of what was to come. Because nobody wants to be in a relationship that's bound to fail. Nobody does. And yet I put myself in that situation. I settled in certain aspects where I don't have that kind of a lifestyle. I don't find it appropriate in certain areas. I don't have the same expectations and goals that she does. And that's how it is. That is simply how it is. And when we were able to recognize that within us, I don't share her goals. I don't share her lifestyle. I don't share all these different things that she has and that she has been doing and having in her life for so many years. That's not for me to tell her what she should or shouldn't do. We attempted to work through it. It didn't work. So there. That's it. We then were able to leave the relationship as best as can be done for those that have been together for a year and hopefully remain as positive as possible. Okay. Going through this list on Huffington Post by Margaret Paul about love and relationships. Number 4, we got number 3. Number 4 is financial abuse. And that can include your partner refusing to work after having agreed to work and contribute to the household. That's an issue. I've noticed it both on the male and female side. Either partner, doesn't matter. Because if you have a partner that's with you that is saying, yeah, oh, yeah, I want to help. I want to do this. I want to do that. And yet they're not. They're just mooching. That's an issue. Okay, that's definitely an issue. If your partner's overspending and putting you into debt, that's not cool. Gambling, also putting you into debt, not good at all. Or your partner's using money to control you. That as well. Those are some very strong signs we mentioned earlier. The overly controlling behavior up number two, that's also something to really, really strongly recognize there's a problem there. Okay, number five, substance addictions. Okay. Substance, if your partner, say, for example, is an alcoholic or a drug addict, and this is causing you pain, then it may be time to leave. Then again, you need to accept your powerlessness over him or her and focus on taking loving care of yourself. If you are an enabler, then you need to receive help with this through a 12-step program so that way you can also help and not do this for your next relationship. Even if it's food, it doesn't matter. It is an addictive substance. And they can oftentimes, when they're having this as part of their lifestyle, they're used to doing it for so long, what do you do? It's their choice, and it's something that you don't have to be there. I've had some friends that have had their partner be a drug addict, and they try and help them. I'm trying. And they catch them. They catch them in the act again. Oh, okay. Meth is not a good thing for those people, okay? Not cool. Alcohol is also a very easy to get drug. You can look at smoking. Well, smoking doesn't oftentimes cause as much of a challenge. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about alcohol, which can change their behavior substantially, as well as drugs, which can also even, I mean, alcohol being a drug as much as any other drug, in my opinion, except for it's much easier to get a hold of, can change the person's behavior substantially. Okay. Anger, frustration, it removes that filter, if you will, to normal everyday society. Other drugs can do the same thing and can cause violent responses. So to me, if that person is not the person that you want to spend your life with, you may think they have a lot of great qualities, and yet if their alcohol or drug dependency is causing you enough pain, get out, please. Get out. Do your best to help them into a 12-step program or therapy and move on, because chances are that is going to be something in their life and it's going to take a lot of time to change. If you want to be there to support them, great. Understand, though, that you're probably going to have to support them in way too many ways, and you're going to have to neglect yourself in the process. This is my perspective. Think about that, please. Affairs. Number six, an affair does not always need to be the end of the relationship. Much healing can occur if both people are open to learning about themselves and each other in the wake of an affair. Yes, true. Okay. However, understand there are other issues that may be there. For example, the STDs. What do they call them? Instead of sexually transmitted diseases, there's another name for them. We used to call them STDs, and now I guess they have them a different name for them. I'm not exactly sure how it goes. With these sexually transmitted diseases, you can't get rid of some of them. Others you can. Others you can't. I have a good friend, and she's a doctor. She's had issues with her partners in the past and has contracted a disease of some sort from these people. It's like, what do you do? You get rid of it if you can, but what do you do? I have other friends. One of my best friends, he was telling me about some of his friends in the past that they would go around and they would just have partner after partner and they would spread their diseases. I'm like, what is going on? Why would you do that? I'm not saying doctors only, but other friends, other doctors, they get inappropriate with their patients and they can pass things on. Not cool. Not cool. All right? Please, everyone. Don't have affairs, please. It can have too many issues for your friends, your families, and the way it can break families apart. One of the friends of my family that we've known for, I don't know how many years, they had some challenges, their friendship. The couple had some problems because the father had an affair for years. And he thought everything was going smashingly. Okay, I'm married, having an affair, cool. And then he got a call at his office. He was a doctor. And it was his girlfriend saying, I'm pregnant. Ugh! He had a heart attack. Okay. It can break up families. And I just found out recently that even though they tried to make it work, they've been trying for, I think, 7 or 8 years or more. They finally got broke up because there were just too many issues. Now, do I blame him? No. Do I blame her? No. I do look at the relationship, though, and say, okay, where's the problem? Well, she was not giving him the attention that he felt he should have had, and she didn't know or didn't know how to give him the attention that he wanted. And this girlfriend of his supplied that attention that he felt that he needed and was able to receive that, and that helped him to feel like he was loved. Well, with that problem, communicate with your spouse, with your partner. Communicate with them so they know what to expect. Communicate your desires. Communicate your feelings and your needs so that way your partner can provide that for you. It's really, really important. All right, number 7, different paths. Ah, yes, this is one that is very, very important to me because it's something that I experienced with my ex-girlfriend. Partners sometimes go off on different paths. Often this is not a problem, but sometimes it becomes a major issue if you are learning and growing and your partner is not. You may find that you have no way to connect with your partner. Some people can find the connection they need with friends, but it is this lack of connection with your partner that feels very lonely for you. You might consider moving on. This is something that we did specifically have issues with, different paths. She did not want to go back to school. She's going back to school because she needs to for work, or else in a couple of years that she will lose her job if she's not improving and getting that degree that she needs to have. I don't, for years, did not feel I needed to go and get a degree. I thought, okay, I can study, I can learn, and I was. I'm studying about communication, studying about languages, studying about body language, studying about all kinds of things, everything from blacksmithing and leatherworking and bone carving and woodworking and all these different old things, old skills. What's wrong with them? Nothing's wrong with them, but it's just how I am. We did not share that. I like to make things she doesn't. Sometimes that can be okay, but being able to share that and have that connection, that makes a difference. Someone who's growing and doing things to improve. Not good or bad, it's just different. Catch you right after the break in just a few moments.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
If you've ever said, I do want it all. I do want happiness. I do want love. And I do desire the happily ever after fairy tale life, then this show is for you. Join me, Dame Nicole Brandon, for my internationally acclaimed show, Bridal Talk Radio, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, where I'll bring you the top experts in the fields of communication, money, relationships, finance, pleasure, play, travel, sexuality, parenting, real estate, adventure, comfort, care, passion, and love.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Imagine receiving healing, vibration-raising energy as you listen to the radio. Energy that flows effortlessly to you. Imagine exploring all things metaphysical, sharing in an ongoing adventure. Join me, Karen Smoot, along with my co-hosts, Lisa Victorson and Wendy Weber, for Immersion into Source, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on OM Radio.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Back. This is Matthew Cooper on OM Times Radio with the Positive Communication Program. I wanted to do a really quick shout out to the OM Times Magazine. For those of you who have not taken a look at the OM Times Magazine for this week, how many of you have heard of Paulo Coelho? Paulo Coelho, he wrote the book called Alchemist and a couple of other different ones. He recently had a movie coming out as well. The actress that was in Mr. Paulo's movie, Paz Vega, she is an internationally acclaimed actress. She's been in a number of different films. It was interesting reading about the information about her. I mean, there's a picture of her with Morgan Freeman at the Paramount Theater. I had to giggle because Morgan Freeman is one of my favorite men to have, listening to him, hearing his wonderful voice, and possibly even being able to sound in a similar way. Love the guy. Love the way that his voice changes. It has such a rhythmic, classy sound. Oh, guy's awesome. I love him. Mr. Morgan Freeman. Fantastic. He's just such a fun guy. Anyway, so being able to learn about a little more about what Mrs. Paz Vega was able to do. I think it's The Pilgrim, the best story of Paulo Coelho. And being able to take a read through there, take a look at that. There's also a number of other great articles. Go ahead, please get as much information as you can. There's a lot of great things in here for those that are looking for spiritual paths, spiritual information. Take a look. Take a look. It's really quite fun. I never tire of going through the OM Times Magazine. I mean, it's always done so classy, always looks great, highest quality production. I would highly recommend anyone that's interested in learning more about what OM Times is, take a look at their magazine. Anyway, okay, so thank you so much. Moving onwards, talking about some of the different ways that you know that a relationship is at an end and when you should move on. So we've talked about starting at the top. We've talked about physical abuse, how that is not appropriate. Same with verbal, emotional abuse, or an overly controlling behavior. Warning signs, child abuse, ooh, not appropriate at all. Financial abuse is also can be quite dangerous. Substance addictions, it's also a problem in many relationships. Because when you love the person, what do you do? How do you work with them if they're not willing or able to change? And so helping them as much as possible is important. Affairs. Affairs are issues. And yet, even if they're an issue, you can work through them if there is a true desire for, if you want to call it repentance, being sorry for doing it and not doing it ever again. That's one thing. To me, though, once a person has had an affair, that's always an issue. I had a friend who mentioned some of their friends who got into their relationship because one partner was cheating on another, on her husband, and then she got together with somebody else. And that's challenging. That's challenging because then, to me, I would always wonder, if they're going to cheat once, will they cheat again? That's, to me, there's a predisposition towards that. Just my opinion. Anyway, different paths. Number seven, partners go on different paths. This is the main issue I noticed with my ex-girlfriend and I is our differences were multitude. I mean, she loved to go out to parties and to see people, but even then those parties were usually very small. That's fine. I'm an introvert. I don't like big groups if I don't have to, even though I do lectures and workshops and teach. I still – it's like I can – binge and do a little bit of that and then go back to, okay, I'm resting. Being an introvert, I'm drained by being around large groups of people, whereas as an extrovert, they would be empowered by it. And my ex-girlfriend loved being around people, and she's so good with people too. She's such a kind, friendly, and generous person that way, so willing to help and to talk and to be so communicative. And I just don't want to communicate in that situation very much. I'll find one or two people maybe, and I'll talk to them. I'm not as communicative to go in and be the butterfly that dances around and talk to everyone. Not me. So what do? I just enjoy it as much as I can. That's one aspect where she's an extrovert, I'm an introvert. She really loves the outside. Oh, I want to go hiking. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to go camping. I want to go to the beach. And she wants to do all these things outside. And me, I'm a white boy. I get burned easy. We went to Seven Peaks close to the end of our relationship. And I went in a way of being able to show her, you know, I'm interested in doing these things with you. I'm wanting to do this. I'm making these efforts. And I got burned bad. She didn't even get anything except for more brown. Okay. So is it right or wrong? No, it's not right or wrong. It's just the way one person really enjoys something and another person doesn't. There's compromise. You can have compromising. Yes. But it's just finding what works for you. And to me, I burn so easily. I do not like going out in the sun a lot. I like it more in the wintertime. But still going out and freezing my butt off for 7 or 12 hours is not fun either. I can do it if I need to, but it's not as exciting to me and enjoyable to me. I have other things that I enjoy doing. Being able to, for example, go out and do archery outside. Okay, go do some knife throwing or throw the football with my son. Yeah, okay, that's cool. Sounds good. Having a walk with my dog. Yeah, all right, I'm good there. And yet being able to do those things, it wasn't enough for her. She wanted to do more. Okay, so out of my comfort zone and strongly within hers, and there was that conflict. So understanding we have those differences. Like I said, I'm a learner. I love learning and studying and growing and researching. Those are things that I find very fun. I love martial arts, and I'm an active participant at our school that's just opening up their new location. They've been open for about, 3 years, I think, now. Opening up a new location, coming up, the grand opening in 2 days, 3 days, on Saturday, yeah. So 3 days, oh, so excited, get to finally go back to school for my martial arts. Plus, I'm also going to school to get going for my master's degree. I'm going back to college or the university for that. So I like to learn. She hates it. I love to read. She doesn't like to read. There were enough things that were different with us that it kept on pulling us apart. Understand that if you have a relationship and it's doing that, pulling you apart, try and get out if you can while you're still friends. Don't wait till it's painful and a horrible experience. It was still not fun for me, but it was not a fight. It was not a negative, mean, and a hateful situation. Not at all. Not at all. We were able to part as cordially and as nicely as possible in the circumstances. Neither one of us was mean or hurtful or angry with the other. We went through our tears, yes, we had those challenges, and yet we were able to leave in a positive way. I think that all adults should be able to do that. So another reason why you could be finding you need to leave for different paths. Number eight, lack of support for being all you can be. Is your partner threatened by your desire to expand and be all that you came to the planet to be? Does he or she try to thwart your growth and dim your excitement about your direction in life? If so, then you may want to consider leaving. If they're helping you, they're willing to support you and help you grow in all you can do, that's great. Does it feel like when they're doing that, they're trying to control you and trying to tell you what to do? If that's the case, well, then either need to look inside of you or look and see, are they truly trying to control you and not allowing you to be what you want? Things to think of. Number nine, different needs for intimacy. Okay, there's no right amount of emotional or sexual intimacy in a relationship, but sometimes partners' needs are so different that it causes much loneliness for one of the partners or both of them. Because if you have different needs and one partner needs a certain type or a certain way of being emotionally connected or intimate, if one's not getting what they need and the other one's not getting what they need, then you're going to have two individuals who are at odds. Okay? This is also an issue that I experienced. And it's not that it's right or wrong. It's not that a person is good or bad. It's just that there were different needs and there wasn't the connection. There wasn't that level of vulnerability. I don't know if I was or if she was. I didn't feel it from her. She may not have felt it from me. We had different ideas of what was, I want to say important, but it's not important. What was going to, if you will, unlock that in us each. She felt that I should have been doing certain things, and if I didn't do them, then she was not going to be interested, involved, or willing to take part in the process of being intimate. And I felt I was doing things, but if she wanted me to do other things that I didn't know I was supposed to do, it was kind of hard for me to work together with her and help her to be able to have that setting to be intimate. So a lot of confusion, and it's just because we were so different, such different people. Not right or wrong, not good or bad, just different. And learning how to work with that, if you have a partner that is willing to work with you, great. Do your best. Do what you can to be able to bring that into fruition, to be able to have that healthy part of your relationship. If you're not able to do that, if you're not willing to, or if your partner's not willing to, then consider that maybe you need to move on. Okay? And number 10, one foot out the door, the fear of commitment. Okay, if you want a committed relationship and your partner is continually threatening to end the relationship or shows other signs of a fear of commitment, you might want to move on. Now, I recognize that I was partially at fault for this because I didn't have the fear of commitment. What I had was a fear of this not going to work. I don't want to commit to marriage or commit to having a child together or commit to these different types of actions with someone who I feel is so different than me that it's going to break off in the future anyway. I don't want that. I also remember that we had these conversations, and she had mentioned that she's not going to commit to someone who is not going to be able to provide that for her. I'm like, oh, okay, so it's not just me. We both had these fears, and we recognized it pretty much early on. We just didn't – I think neither one of us wanted to admit that this was not going to be the most positive long-term relationship. We're willing to stay together as long as it lasted, as long as it was positive. We just didn't want to be the first one to say, okay, I'm done. And we both made the efforts. We both tried. It just did not go the way that we wanted. So right or wrong? No, neither right nor wrong. It's simply being able to recognize where you're different and where somebody does not fit the life that you want. I had a number of friends tell me that I was a very different person when I was in that relationship. I was trying so hard to fit with her that I really lost myself. I lost myself in who I was and the goals and the direction, the dreams that I had to be able to be that way. And I sacrificed a lot of my time and my efforts to do that. Not right or wrong, it's just what it is. And friends of mine said, what are you doing? What happened to the Matt that we used to know? Well, to those of you who are listening that are my friends that know about this, I'm back. And I'm here to stay. I'll talk to you soon right after the break.
Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. What if business could be fun? What if business is the adventure of living? What are you choosing? Where do you do business that makes it easier, more fun, or more joyful for you? We'd love to see where you do business. Connect with us on Instagram at Joy of Business or Twitter at Joy of Business and share your pictures with hashtags Business Done Where and Joy of Business. Let's change the world with business.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Free your mind with OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Welcome back. This is Matthew Cooper, the Positive Communication Show on OM Times Radio.
Yes.
Got some good stuff here, talking about the different things that we can do and recognize in our relationships and if it's time to leave. Now, I'm not advocating people should leave relationships. I'm not advocating that at all. I was married for 15 years. I thought marriage was the best thing since sliced bread. And then I learned a little bit differently. I learned that marriage is not a piece of paper. Marriage is an agreement between two individuals. I don't care which gender. I don't care man, woman, woman, man, man, et cetera, other gender options, whatever people want to have. It's a contract between people choosing to be together. It does not matter to me. And because of that, recognizing the contract, if they want to leave, then let them. If they don't want to be with you, then don't be with them. Don't let them be with you. Don't torture yourself and children and anyone else in the relationship or is close to you. Don't torture people by being in a relationship that you are not happy in. Sometimes you're just wondering, okay, how do I end this? What do I do? What do I need to do? How can I make this work? You need to find that out. I'm not going to say this is the only way to make it work. This is how you end it. I don't have that answer. Especially if it's an abuse issue, that makes it very different. There are, I'm sure, some different organizations that can help with that. I'd encourage you to look that up in your area personally. Now, the last one we spoke about here on Huffington Post article by Margaret Paul was 1 foot out the door, the fear of commitment. Whether it's yours or theirs, or there's some issue in there that's preventing you from really wanting to make that deep core commitment that you're going to make this work no matter what. Unless that's there, that really makes it hard to have a long-term relationship with someone. Now, when I was mentioning earlier about the Om Times magazine and how it's always so classy, the pictures are always great. I mean, so many different things, and the articles are tremendous and phenomenal. I was looking through and I saw one on relationships, The 5 Fatal Relationship Mistakes by Marcia Sirota. She's a medical doctor, looks like an MD. 5 fatal relationship mistakes that are keeping you single. Well, I wouldn't say that's keeping you single. I was thinking there's also things that can be in your relationship that can make you single. Okay? That's what I personally think. It's not just going into relationships and you're single and having this. It's also when you're in the relationship that can break you apart. Now, number one, never being satisfied. This is an issue that is both for your partner as well as for yourself. It says here, the number one mistake, never being satisfied. If you're always unhappy with the food, the drinks, the movie, the party, the service, the hotel, the bowling alley, the nightclub, whatever, it will cause your partner to feel anxious and insecure. That will kill a relationship super fast, all right? Because if you can't do something right, if you can never do anything right, then how do you expect to feel loved and accepted in your relationship? If nothing you do is able to show that person in your life that you care for them, if you can do nothing right and you never do anything the way they want it to be, how do you expect to have a positive relationship? Yes, this is touching a nerve. So it is realizing, okay, that's something there. All right, fatal relationship mistakes. Number 2, overreacting. Okay, if you get furious over little things, really upset over unimportant things, or closed up and silent for no reason that your partner can see, you'll end up single in no time at all. Yes, overreacting is a big issue. Okay? Those extreme reactions, extreme emotions are not going to be appropriate. Passive aggressive. Whew, this is one. This is one. Nothing makes a person as angry as when their partner leaks anger indirectly. Oh, it's so interesting. I love learning about body language and the communication that we can do. Since all behavior, everything we do is communication, since we have that, oh man, everything that a person does, I'm always watching for and recognizing the subtle signs, and they can just set me off. Like, what did I do wrong this time? What's going on? Why are they doing this? And when you're around someone and trying to constantly be able to please and to be able to keep things in a positive, appropriate way and making sure that you're having a good relationship, when you're able to recognize they're not happy, instead of me pointing back the finger at them, I look at myself and say, okay, what did I do wrong? What can I do better? How can I improve this? What mistakes going on? Did I do something wrong? Did somebody else do something wrong? What's up? When that's going on constantly, oh, it's so exhausting. So exhausting. It says here in the article, if you're always losing their things, breaking things, forgetting to do things, or coming late for things, your partner will quickly get fed up. Why is this a fatal mistake? It's because your partner needs to feel that you're being straightforward and reasonable with them. If you're pretending that you're not angry, but you're leaking all this anger towards them, they'll start to hate you. Game over. Yeah. Yeah, if you feel that the other person is not caring, not doing what you feel they should be, and having all these feelings, if you're having all those issues, what do you expect? If you're having all those problems, what do? Okay? When you're feeling this anger, this leaking anger from them, that makes you like, whoa, whoa, you're not – why don't you just tell me what's going on? Don't say, well, you know. What's wrong? Well, you know. No, I don't know. If I knew, I wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't be saying that. I wouldn't be asking, what's wrong? Why are you acting this way? What did I do? Okay? Those – oh, that's really hard. Passive-aggressive is really difficult to deal with. Number four, expecting your partner to fix you. This is interesting. The fourth fatal mistake is expecting your partner to fix you. We all have emotional baggage from childhood, but our romantic partner is not responsible for healing it. Yeah, that's a good point. That's the job of our therapist. If you expect your self-esteem, confidence, and the meaning in your life to come from your partner, they'll stop wanting to be with you. Why is this a fatal mistake? It's because your partner feels like your friend, companion, and lover, not like your parent or therapist. If you put them in the role of emotional caretaker, they'll feel burdened by your inappropriate needs and won't want to stay with you. Yeah, I can understand that would be really frustrating and not wanting to be with someone like that. Fifth and final fatal mistake is being an emotional vampire. It's not going to work if you're constantly demanding their time, attention, validation, or approval, or if you're constantly talking to them or trying to get a reaction from them. Yeah, that is a good way of explaining it, an emotional vampire, where they're talking. Now, conversation is different. Oh, I love conversations. Conversations are wonderful. And it's not just talking to me. It's also about demanding time. And then the passive-aggressive that goes with it. If you don't, the way they act, the way they'll just pout or drop their head. Okay, I'll just go out there by myself. Or something like that. That's just like, you want to help. You want to be there. You want to do these things for them. However, if it happens too much, then all of a sudden you start to resent them. You start to be frustrated and you don't want to spend any time with them. You start dreading having to spend time with them at all. To me, if you're going to be able to have a relationship, if it's healthy, you don't spend all of your time with your partner. You have other friends. You go out and see those other friends. You spend time with those other friends. And it's not just one little friend or two friends or a group of friends. Okay, it's not just your drinking buddies. You need to go out and find some real people and have some good conversations and grow and live and learn and be happy together with them. Because then when you come back to your partner, you feel like being happy. Like, okay, sweet, I spent some time with my friends. I've had enough time away from you that I miss you. I want to be back with you again. I thought about you when I was gone. Oh, I'm so happy to be back. Rather than feeling like a wet blanket that's covering you and just stifling you. Do I sound bitter? I hope not. I'm not. I have learned in a couple of things, though. This last relationship, I would not make any changes to the lessons I learned. It was very, very instructional. Okay? I had some great times. I learned a lot of great lessons. I learned so many different things about myself and what I'm wanting and where I'm going in my life. One of my best friends, he had mentioned that I should settle because I was pretty picky. I was really, really picky before I met this young lady that I just broke up with over a year ago, about almost 14 months ago. And he said I was too picky. Quit being so picky, he said. You need to be able to find someone, yes, but quit being so picky. You need to find someone that's going to be good enough. I'm like, oh, okay, fine, I will. Because I was desperate. I really was. I admit it. I was really lonely, and I settled. I settled for someone that had a couple of things, personality quirks and habits in their life that I didn't completely agree with. And in doing that, I got into that relationship, and it was not appropriate. And I talked to him later about that more recently after he saw a post that I'd made on Facebook. And he said, I didn't mean to just settle for less. What I meant was, he was trying to explain it in his own way, that he was trying to say, don't have such high expectations in every single area, and that don't settle for someone that doesn't match these areas, but go out and date, still have fun. Don't think that every lady you have to go out with is going to be that one. So he explained that. I understand. I appreciate that. And he's right. Another friend of mine, an old girlfriend, she has a boyfriend that she's madly head over heels in love with right now. It's so fun to see her so happy and excited. And she was saying, you know what? Make your list, the list of the person that you want. And once you have that list, don't settle. Don't settle for anyone, because you deserve the best. And there may be some things on your list that are there, others that aren't in this person that you're looking for. But in the meantime, don't worry about searching for them. This is, I'd give recommendations to all those out there that are single, that are looking for someone. Don't necessarily look for them. You instead focus on you, making yourself the best person that you can be. Does that mean don't go out and have fun? No, it doesn't. It means go out, have fun, but don't search for your partner. Don't try and go overboard and looking for that person. Instead, have fun, be social, enjoy. In addition to that, be a better you. Be the ideal person that your future partner wants to be with. You can't expect them to fix your mistakes. You can't expect them to make you happy. You are the only one that can make you happy. No one else. No one else can make you happy unless you choose to be happy. They say happiness is an inside job. There's a Zen saying, if you cannot find it where you are standing, where do you expect to wander in search of it? One of my absolute favorites. So you have to search for your happiness. Nobody else will give it to you. Keep your chin up. Come back here next week on Wednesday, and we'll have another phenomenal, titillating conversation. We'll chat with you then.